The Weekend Waffle, Geek of the Week.
Oh, yes, it certainly is. And on the line, on Skype, should be David Mills. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Mark.
Hello, how's things?
All pretty good here. Busy week at work, trying to beat some sense out of an X-ray system. So looking forward to a nice relaxing weekend instead.
So whereabouts are you in the country to give some idea?
East London, Dagenham.
East London, Dagenham, okay.
Yeah, you can tell from the accent.
You don't really have an accent.
Oh, that's good.
There we go. So you mentioned X-rays. What is the deal with the X-rays?
So I work in the dental school at the Queen Mary University of London. And basically my job is designing and building CT systems for X-raying teeth and bones.
Okay.
And then trying to find other uses for them. So we got a few years ago, we got into X-raying old scrolls and being able to try to read the contents of sort of ancient, you know, 400, 500-year-old parchment scrolls that you couldn't unroll to read them.
Mm.
And it's kind of developed from there. We do all sorts of things.
So I'm guessing that you're saying you can't unroll them. That's because they're basically going to fall apart if you try and do that.
Yeah, some of them, because it's parchment, it's animal skin. If it gets wet, it sort of turns in like rawhide dog chews. It gets very solid. And if you try to open, well, you could try to open it, it will just crack or it will tear, or you know, people just don't want to risk it.
So you're saying that some of the scrolls are 400 or 500 years old?
Yes, some of them are much older. There's material that dates back to sort of pre-Roman times. There's just stuff that dates back to biblical times. Most of that has been discovered and has been opened, so everyone immediately thinks Dead Sea Scrolls. Those have all been opened, flattened, and you can read them.
Mm.
But there's a lot of stuff in various archives around the world that can't be opened or can't be read, or has started to rot, or they just don't know what it says. Some of it's never been catalogued, some of it's just never been accessed.
So
we did some work with the Norfolk Record Office. They had a particular scroll that was dated from sort of the time of Henry VII, and they had a fair idea what it probably said. It was like the middle one in a series. They had the year before and they had the year after, but it had got wet at some point in the past, and so you could only unroll like the first sort of layer of the scroll would unroll, and after that it was solid. So we managed to scan that and make it accessible.
So how do you actually go about reading it? Because everyone sort of thinks of X-rays, and you get the kind of classical hospital ones where you sort of X-ray someone's body and you get the bones but not the skin, or not too much of the skin. How can you actually read something when it's still rolled up?
Okay, so it's not just like a standard X-ray you'd have if you just broke your arm, you get a single image. It's more like a CT scan, so it's a three-dimensional X-ray. So you can actually, you can see various layers inside the X-ray. You can flip it around, it's 3D data set. The ink that's used on a lot of the scrolls works in our favour. It actually contains iron. It's all sort of an alchemical mishmash, but essentially it's rust and some tannin from oak leaves or oak apples or oak bark, which forms a nice black ink. There's all sorts of other contaminants. There tends to be arsenic. There tends to be some copper in there and various other things.
Lovely
stuff.
So
that shows up nicely on the X-rays. You're looking at metal as against animal skin, so it actually shows up quite well.
And does this work on, I can imagine maybe go forwards 100 years from now. Does this sort of thing work on documents that we're still printing nowadays? Or, what are the folks that are doing your job in 100 years going to be able to do? Are they still going to be able to do this? Or is modern technology going to actually stop people from looking back at what we're doing at the moment in the future?
That's a really good question, and I wish I could answer it. All I can say is at the moment, the ink that tends to be used in printing, it just contains carbon, and you're printing on a substrate that's carbon, so there's no contrast. Maybe with sort of terahertz imaging or you know, some imaging technique to be invented, it may be possible to read it. But it's, you know, with current technology, it's difficult, to say the least.
We'll have to look forward and see what happens there. Go on, Mark. You've got your list of words.
I got my list of words. I sent this to you earlier, Dave, and we've covered the X-rays. I guess the one that everyone is thinking, what, is when we mention snails.
Ah, yes.
What is it with you and snails?
I've always been fascinated by them, even sort of when I was a kid. These things that creep along. Never been quite so interested with slugs. And then the opportunity came a couple of months ago to do a stand-up comedy set at a science show-off, which is run by Steve Cross, sort of public science engagement. And I was looking for something different to do. I usually talk about x-rays and x-raying my lunch and stuff and get people to guess what I've been doing. And I thought, oh, I'll do something about snails. It gave me a chance to learn a bit more about them. And I collected some snails from the garden and then just tried feeding them different things, see if I could make their poo change colour.
Oh, lovely.
It turns out you can. It turns out it was a Dutch guy actually got there first, and he was feeding snails coloured paper.
Is this the same thing as if you feed guinea pigs beetroot, then both ends go purple?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, you get.
I think the same thing happens with human children.
Yes.
Dave, have you discovered the fact that snails don't like to cross copper tape?
Well, no, they don't. I needed a way to keep them out, from escaping the tank I had them in. So I just put a couple of layers of copper tape around the top and just connected it up to a battery. So it was just a simple thing, just as if the snail connected both contacts, it got a 9-volt shock and fell off. What I didn't realise at the time when I did this was
is that they kind of enjoyed
bridge
it.
Gaps quite nicely. So the snails soon learned that they could go up to the first copper tape and then just bridge their body over and they could get up onto the roof of the tank without ever making contact.
Sneaky, sneaky things.
So I got some video of that, you know, time-lapse video of that, which was quite interesting. What they didn't seem to get the idea of, though, was how to come back down. So I went down to the shed where I had the snails about 3 days later and found them all on the top
just
the tank,
stranded.
Trying to figure out how to get back down.
A gentle tap on the top, maybe, yeah.
That's what I used, yeah.
So have you been tempted to eat any?
Not yet. I'm not a big fan of
escargot.
Seafood. Yeah, yeah. My limit with seafood and, you know, things that come in shells. If it's deep fried and battered,
aren't they slightly different snails?
No,
they're the same. Same. I think this particular breed was introduced by the Romans.
Helix aspersa.
That's it. You know, corn
have you been Googling again, Lawrence?
Nope.
Oh, smart. No,
my parents are farming snails at the moment.
Right. There's a little bit of argument in the literature over what you actually call them. I think the old name for it is corn aspersa or something, but they've been reclassified.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk like Joe or Bob or Sharon or something like that. Is there a list of acceptable snail names?
I don't know. I needed a way of identifying my snails. I just painted them in different dots of Tippex, and that seemed to work.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Indelible market. Sharpie, yeah.
Very good. So you mentioned this, Dave, earlier. You mentioned that you've done the X-ray my lunch thing in the
Does
past.
Does include the snail?
presumably not including the snail.
Not yet.
What's the one that confused people the most?
That's got to be the pork scratching. Everybody guessed it was a mushroom for some reason. Nobody guessed it correctly that I'd actually x-rayed a pork scratching. Until you zoom in, you actually point out to people there's hairs on it, and then they see it.
lovely. Well, Dave, it's been great speaking to you.
Thank you very much.
If anyone wants to know any more about some stuff you do, have you got a website where you stick all this information?
Yes,
it's some of it.
Easier. Most of it ends up on Twitter. My website, which is webshed.org, is in desperate need of updating. I'm trying to move away from MediaWiki on there and actually put something up I can update more. But if you follow me on Twitter, at DTL, most of my stuff ends up there at some point.
How did you manage to get a three-character... Oh, wait a minute, you joined right at the beginning of Twitter, pretty much.
I did, yes.
Yeah,
I think it is like 10 years ago this week or something.
At DTL on Twitter.
Twitter is announcing that you were on there in December 2006.
Yeah. Mm, long time ago.
I've still got a month to go then, right?
Yeah. Anyway, Dave, it's been great to speak to you. Thanks for being...
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being our...
The Weekend Waffle. Geek of the Week.